Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to get together again. We thank you, Father, that you're moving things ahead. It looks like things are going as planned, as what you've got planned. I know that you're bringing down the deep state. You're bringing down the faction. You're bringing down all the things that have been brought against the people of the world. And you're going to make it right for a little while. But we know also, Lord, that the church is fixing to be cleansed. And we thank you for that, Father, that you're going to make it so people will understand that the false gospel that they've been listening to has no power. And the only power is the true gospel of the resurrected Christ. And Father, we thank you that people are going to come out of those places and come running to you in one of the greatest revivals ever happened in the history of man. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that many people are going to come in. Many people are going to lose their lives. But a lot of things have to happen in order for people to get shaken to the core and to call out to you, Lord. Because as you know, Lord, when we're at our weakest, you're our miracle-working God. And when everything around us seems like it's just torn down, we look to you and we see a lot of hope. We see hope and we see you. And Father, we thank you for bringing about this revival. Get us ready, Lord, to be able to minister to the people that are coming into the kingdom in an overflowing way. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, lead us tonight. Guide us into what you want us to speak about and talk about, every one of us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for all the prayers that are going to be answered, that have been answered, and are in the process of being answered. And we praise you for that, Lord, because we know when we pray, we got an open heaven. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're a miracle-working God. There's nothing on your earth here that you can't do. And I praise you, Father, that you've given us the faith to believe anything is possible when faith is around. And we know it's around because you're around. Thank you, Lord, for directing our path tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I got off the phone with my sister Anna about 5 minutes ago. We've been on the phone for maybe an hour and 15 minutes. This is not my sister Christina who sent the letter. This is my other sister, but she's trying to convince me too. But we had a better discussion with her about the Lord, and I sort of threw you guys into the discussion and some verses and stuff. And I don't know. She seems to know about her salvation, but she is Roman Catholic, and she's handicapped. So I just want to pray for her and her family too, because she's a grandma. And Lord, I hold before you my sister Anna. I don't know where she's at or what you're doing with her, but she has some knowledge about you, Lord. We had a nice conversation. She's attentive. She'll hear the word. She'll listen to a person talking about your Bible and about you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would draw her ever closer to you, Lord. Save her from some of the items that she's trying to convince me of. And and help her, Lord, to be ever closer to you. Grant her the ability to see what it says in your word, Lord, to discern better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We believe it with him, Lord.
You know, I've got a praise report, too. I was almost not going to be able to come on tonight because yesterday we had a thunderstorm and a power failure, and my router just didn't work. None of the lights were on it. And I even phoned the cable company and said, my router doesn't work. You know, unplug it, do this, do that. You know, you do all the stuff to get it rebooted. You know, there's even a little pinhole thing you're supposed to reset it with in the back of it. And it, none of it worked. It didn't work all night. And of course, I went to work this morning, and you have to log in for the COVID, saying you're coming into the building and how long you're going to stay there and everything. And I couldn't log in from home, so it was not working all night. And then when I got home from, I prayed over it. And when I got home from work, it's working. I that was interesting, you know, it's like, anyway, so praise God for that. And, you know, you got these things racing through your mind for something so simple like this, you know, oh, I'm the bad link here, you know, and, you start going, what is all this stuff coming into my head? I didn't even sleep well over this. Oh, I'm going to miss tonight. Anyway, God had different plans. And it was an eye-opener for me just the simple things sometimes can get you going on these tangents that, oh, don't let that happen to you guys, okay? So just don't listen to don't let these crazy things come into your head. Oh boy. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, he does. He hates us all, Julie. I like it like that too. Yeah, go ahead, June.
Okay. This will lead into prayer, but I want to give some background first. Last week, Dave was talking about a concern about how times are going to get really tough and that we all, you know, stand firm. And in 1995, I went to my first, what would you call it? It was a Christian Believers United conference. And it was the first time I heard something being spoken that was prophetic. And it was about the end times. And when I heard it, it so registered in my spirit that at the time the prophecy was finished, the girl that I had come to the conference with and I were sitting alone. Everybody had left the room. The pews were empty except for this other girl and myself because we were wailing. It just struck our spirit so strongly, and we couldn't stop crying, uncontrollable crying. And it wasn't until a few days later that I realized that this fear had come over me. And I was praying to the Lord to get beyond it. And it was something I was doing on a daily basis because it was like an obsession with me and I just couldn't get rid of it. And I don't know why it took as long as it did. I have no idea, but it must have been at least 6 months that went by, which I'm forgetting to mention another point. I had watched on TV this evangelist who I thought was very sincere, and he was talking in reference to healings and how healings were being done by the Lord, and the Lord was using him as a tool. Well, he was coming to North Carolina, and I got so excited. So I figured going to go to this church and I'm going to ask for healing from this fear I had. So I go up to this man and he looks at me. He goes, why are you here? And I said, well, I have this fear that I can't get over. And I'm asking the Lord to help me overcome it. And he looked at me like I was from another planet. And it was very strong in my spirit. The Lord told me this was not his servant. So I learned firsthand, you know. But anyway, I came home, still had the fear. 6 months to 8 months must have gone by. And one day I woke up and it was completely gone, like I had never had it. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, you have your reasons, but what could it possibly be that I didn't receive this because I had faith? I knew he could do it for me in a moment. And the only thing I can come up with trying to reasoning it out is I thought maybe the Lord's trying to tell me this is what you needed. So you'll never forget the fear you had and you'll be compassionate for others who might be subjected to that at some point. And so this is my prayer because I have no fear anymore. And to all of you, I am lifting all of you up and I am proclaiming you are not going to fail the Lord because we know the Lord is the beginning and the end. He is the lover of our soul and there is no life apart from him. And he will make us strong because we don't even care to be a part of this world. It is just so perverse and just so far from the Lord. So I just want to encourage all of you in the name of Yeshua Jesus Christ that we are going to stand firm. And it's going to be something that is just who we are in the Lord. And I seal it again in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. I receive it in Jesus' name. And I believe everybody else does too. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Jim. That was awesome. I had fear almost choked me to death one night. But I could squeak out the name of Jesus. When I squeaked out the name of Jesus, it had to go. Praise God. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everyone. Good to see y'all.
Hey, buddy.
Well, I'd like to say, first and foremost, I'm blessed. Glad to be here. But I want to confess something. And, you know, Michael, I know for a fact you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been having a real hard time this week. Really, really hard time. And I haven't felt this way. Gosh. Oh, I don't know. It's been a long time. But let me say it this way. You know, let me just say, I've been dealing with pride this week. And, you know, it's not something I don't really boast on myself or anything like that. And before I come to this project in Detroit, I would have told you, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm prideful, but I can tell you now that I certainly, the Lord's opened my eyes that there's some pride I'm dealing with. And you know, maintenance trades, and the maintenance trades especially, it's a very prideful trade. You know, people, one, be wrong. Two, you know, they're pretty capable people as far as in the sense of, you know, the world and fixing things. So, you know, it tends to build quite the ego. And if you get really into it, you know, you got to be really careful. And I've always been afraid of that because I've seen workers who've done that. And I'll say all this to get to where I'm going, so hang with me. But I've always tried to give credit to when somebody else does something, you know, because I've seen people not do that. You know, if if some guy fixes it, well, he fixes it. Now, if I mess something up, I messed it up. You know, I always try to give credit to where credit's due, because I always feel like the Lord's watching. He'll bless me. But this week, man, I went to this job, and we're commissioning this Amazon in Detroit, and I feel really underutilized, like doing simple things, whatever. And it's like, well, that's fine, no big deal. You wouldn't know it through my actions, but I'm like, yes, sir. Okay, no problem. You know, and there's some younger guys. They're kind of like the control area lead, and I'm doing what they say. And I don't have a problem with the young people thing. That's never been an issue, because I've seen that go against me negatively. So I understand it. I know what that feels like. But, man, you know, what's really been getting me is sometimes it's like there's a lot of new hires in this company, because this whole pandemic, you know, Amazon just went crazy and our company's hired like crazy. So there's a lot of new people who, honestly, and I don't mean it's wrong, they probably couldn't spell PLC. You know, they don't know. They don't know. And it's not their fault. You know, they just don't know any better. And so when they're talking to these guys, they're talking to me and they ask me these questions, like, oh, have you ever seen this? And I'm like, yeah, I have. You know, and I take it, but I'm not getting any. It's like, let me have some extra responsibility. Let me do this. You know, this may sound wrong, but I know it. So I'm telling you guys, it's like, hey, you know, have some belief in me. Trust me, I've been here and done this for a long time, but there's no way they can know that. And so I've really been dealing with it. It's really been hard on me, because I've been taking a back seat and just, you know, doing piddly things and kind of, like I said, feeling underutilized, I don't even know if that makes sense. Not being used to my fullest potential. And this whole company has changed the whole PLC code structure to where we honestly can't even change anything, because everything's so standardized anymore. And like, it's washed the brain. It's like, let me think and do it the way I know how. Anyways, so I've been fighting this pride of mine. And it's like, here's the thing. And that's exactly right, Julie, flesh killer. So I'm not even praying. I'm not even praying that, Lord, take it away from me, because I know I need it. But I wouldn't have known I'd need it until I came to this project. It's so totally different. Like, I know that I need it. And I need to fall in line. And I need to let these things happen. I need to take a back seat. Because the Lord knows that you know, a man can receive nothing unless it first comes from heaven. And he's given me all these things. I know this. Man, he's been my troubleshooter in life. And I really mean that. So I'm just asking if you prayed, you know, you guys, Michael, because I know you've seen this. Just pray that I can accept that I can be, I will come to terms with this, and my flesh will submit, because I know this is what God wants out of me. It's a hard, but I tell you, I believe that I'm going to, and this is his path, you know, just less of me. So that's what I'm battling. You can, anything else in the world, I don't too boastful or prideful about. I guess for some reason, skill set, it really irks me. And that's, the Lord don't want it. He don't want it. And he's showing me that I have it.
Amen. Well, let me just tell you a little story, Isaac. I went from being a contractor into the plant world, into the industrial world, as an electrician with a pouch on the side, doing troubleshooting work on the floor like the rest of the guys. And because of my troubleshooting capabilities, which you have, it didn't take long for people to notice, you know, that, hey, this guy really knows a little bit of something. You know, he's not like the rest of these guys. And I'm not counting myself. I was in business like you for a long time before I got to do this. And within just a few short months, I was a supervisor of the electrical maintenance department. And then I became the maintenance supervisor of the whole Millrock electrician and all of that. because of the experience that you've got, it's not going unnoticed. But I know what God's doing in you because he did it in me as well, and that's humbling you to go ahead and, man, just do what God wants you to do, and that's to do your job, do it like you're working for Jesus and not these kids in the control sense, you know, that are just now coming into the industry. And God will honor it. He wants you to die right now. That's what he's doing in all of us. He's killing all of us. Lord, we just thank you so much for Isaac. Want to do what you want him to do, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for bringing all this stuff up in front of him. And he's recognizing it. And that's a great thing, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for filling him up with nothing but you, Lord. That the flesh has nothing to eat on. That it's just your spirit that's going to be driving him. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that Isaac is overcoming all of the flesh because of this job. And we praise you for it, Father. And he's going to see the crowns for it at some point in time. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? I believe it. I believe it's true, guys. Yeah, Geneva.
Well, I was going to tell testimony, but I'll pray for Isaac too, I guess. Just playing. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for blessing Isaac with this trial, God, trial of his faith, Lord, and that, God, you're putting that rest to sleep, Father, and that you're giving him peace, Jesus, and that, God, this old man has to die, Father. And, Lord, thank you that you continually show Isaac things. And, Father, I ask, Lord, that anytime a thought of pride or anything tries to show up in his mind while he's at the work, Lord, I ask, Father, that he just cast that down and let it just be automatic, and that, God, he gives you the glory and he gives you the praise, Father, and that, Lord, that strengthens him and that keeps him going. And just like Brother Michael said, Father, that no matter what job any one of us does, it doesn't matter. As long as it's for you, Father, and we're glorifying you and we're giving you the praise, Father, that's all that matters. And Jesus, we're not here on this earth for a career anyways. We're here, Lord, to be your servant. And God, Amen. let that be in our heart, and let that be the foundation, Father. And let's just remember that we're only here to serve you. And I thank you, Father, for all things. And thank you that you're going to guide Isaac every single day and keep him from any loneliness, Jesus, Lord, while he's traveling, Father. And thank you, Lord, for comforting him with your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, loneliness doesn't even come up in his mind, or him being bored or anything of that sort, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, go on, Dave. You want to pray?
Oh, are you done? Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand, Isaac. I really do. I'm a technician too. And I've been a technician for 30 years. I had to train three people the last two weeks. I tried to train three different new people on things. They don't know anything, fresh, brand new, like babies, you know. So, but they have the same position I got, so I understand. So, basically, it's patience. And I, you know, we get busy doing our thing, and we understand, and then we got to slow down and take the time, and we're bringing people through something, or, you know, holding back a little bit. I'm thinking, well, I'm trying to remember what it's like to be like that when we didn't know anything. So, or, you know, everything's fresh and new. So that's always a difficult position, because then you got to slow down and take things time and make sure whatever you're showing somebody, they comprehend it, because you know they're going to be back for more. You're just trying to build them up from the ground up. So we'll just pray for this. And I have to do the same thing. I have to slow down, take time, not get impatient. Because, you know, you have a tendency to just want to take care of it and do it yourself, because you've been doing it so long. But that's not how it works. That's not how people grow. And it works for building relationships too. So, Father, thank you for Isaac, for having him be around this situation now where he's got people that maybe don't know as much as he does or have the understanding and the experience level, to give him the patience to guide people, listen intently, to share what he knows when it's time to share, and otherwise to be able to sit back and let these guys brainstorm and work things out on their own, because we had to do the things, same thing ourselves. And Father, allow this time to make relationships better and open up communications. And sometimes tech guys don't talk too much until they got problems, and then they work things out together, and then it works better for everybody all around. If you start building relationships that way, and maybe you can share about other things, so that opens up avenues. So Father, thank you for allowing this to be there for Isaac as he works through this, and maybe allow the Lord to shine through him at the same time, so others can see there's something about him that's good. And Lord, give us that patience, that childlike patience, that mentoring ability to work with others, because we sometimes that experience level comes in and it has to be there for that. So thank you, Father, for all you that you do and allowing us to help others out too. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire. Did you have something?
I wanted to pray, but I think it's all covered.
Okay. Jadeva, you had something else that you wanted to share, didn't you?
Yeah, I had, so me and Marissa, we missed you guys. So this last week we went to the desert on a trip, and I'm sure Marissa will help jump in too if she needs to. But we went on a trip with her husband, my husband, her mom, and her sister, and it was a good time. It was a really great trip. We saw a lot of beautiful stuff, and I just thank the Lord for a great trip. But I was going to say something really cool happened, and I think the Lord really did use us all. But we were walking through. We went to Zion National Park. And in Utah, it's like these big canyons, and they tunnel in, and you can go through them. You can go walking through them, and you go through water, and you hike through water, and you got to have like a hiking stick to get through. And here's kind of a picture. I don't know if you guys can see that, but there's kind of like the canyons, and there's us like walking. So we're walking through the water, and we're like, what, like 2-3 hours in. And me and Marissa are tired and we're cold and we're like, all right, let's turn back. It's pretty. We get the picture. Marissa's mom was like, well, let's just go just a little bit further. And thank God for that, because we were like, okay. So we went probably just about maybe 5-10 minutes further, and we stop at this rock, and Marissa's husband climbs this big rock. His name's Jared. And he's up there standing, he's looking around, and we're all kind of hanging back. And all of a sudden, here comes this young guy, and he gets up there too. Well, he slips and falls, and I don't exactly know how it happened, but I think his arm got caught between the big rock and the small rock and yanked his arm out of his socket. And someone goes, you know, who's a doctor? And we're all looking around, and we start asking all the people who are coming, like, who's a doctor? Is anyone a doctor? None of us have cell phone reception because you can't get it down in the canyons. And Taylor, Marissa's sister, goes, well, my mom's a nurse. And Anne-Marie's like, bleh. So anyways, Anne-Marie, she goes and she gets to the boy, and he's probably in college or something of that sort. And so Jared gets down there, and they're trying to figure out how to get his arm popped back into the socket. And you know, no one, like, Anne-Marie's like, I mean, it's been a long time since I've done this. She was like, I didn't even know what to do, and Jared's never done it before. And I'm just sitting there like, oh gosh, like, he's in pain, like, you know. And it's a 3-hour hike back, and there's no reception. So I was like, Lord. And Marissa's like, what do we do? And so Marissa was going to make him a sling with her jacket. And so anyways, we were all praying, and I was just praying. I had my head down, and Morgan was praying, and Taylor was praying, and we kept watching, and they kept, yanking his arm around, and he had to hold on to like a handkerchief to bite down because the pain was so bad. And you'd see Jared, and Jared was like trying to pull his arm around again, and Anne Marie was holding him down, and there was like all these people were coming and watching. And it was nerve-wracking. And the next thing I know, I was like, Marissa, and I could tell Marissa was doing it too. I was like, let's pray in the Spirit. And so we started praying in the Holy Spirit, and we started believing, and all of a sudden his arm went right back and popped back in. The Lord used Jared, and Jared had enough strength to pop that arm back into the socket, and everyone started cheering and clapping, and Taylor started crying, and we were all super happy. And I was like, man, thank you, Jesus, because that poor guy, like, I don't know what he would have done. That would have been terrible. So that was the Lord, and that was pretty awesome. And it's crazy too how Anne-Marie was just like, well, let's go just a little bit further. So but that was pretty awesome. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can imagine that can be very painful. Remember that movie Mel Gibson was in when he'd pop it out and pop it back in by slapping it up against the wall. He was nuts. All right, Kaynone, go ahead.
I just wanted to give a praise report from something that we prayed about this morning. You know, we were praying for my neighbor. I've lived in this house for like 8.5 months, and I've never seen the girls outside except for just to walk to the car. And we had prayed for them one other time just for peace in the household and respect and casting down the spirit of rebellion and all that. And it lasted for quite a while, actually several months. But then here recently, I'd been hearing all this arguing, you know, going to the car, and just as they weren't getting along at all. And so we prayed for them this morning. And I was working outside this afternoon, and it just made me so happy because these girls had some company over today, which is the first time I've seen that. They were outside laughing and having a very good time. And the Lord just answered that prayer so fast. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I got to see those girls smile. I know that in the natural, they're going through some very tough times right now. Their family is split up, and, you know, they had been with their mom, but they got taken away from her. And so it's just been one hardship for them after another. But today they were having fun, and it was just such a blessing to see that. And I thank the Lord for this little, I don't even know what to call it. It was just so much fun just to hear them laugh, because I had not ever heard them laugh, had really not seen them having fun doing anything. And thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for coming into that house and bringing peace and respect. And it was just something that just glorified you. And I just thank you so much for answering our prayer for them. And I'm believing it's just going to continue for a while, actually for a long while. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for peace in the neighborhood. Amen. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, last Thursday, we prayed for my friend Marion, for her son, who was diagnosed with just real serious cancer in the bowel. And anyway, I talked to Marion, and her son is, wow, he is such a strong believer. I knew that he was a believer when we were praying for him. I knew it because I knew enough about, you know, Mary and her, some of her family. And anyway, he went through this bowel surgery, and the doctor was just amazed. He said, I've never seen anyone with this type of, you know, large softball sized tumor recover so well and so fast. And also, her son's name is Charles, He said that the Lord had spoken to him and told him that he would heal him. And also when Charles was young, when he was about 12, he was in a situation where he's messing around at the river, walking on the logs and fell off and almost drowned. But the Lord came and saved him. You know, supernaturally came, drug him out from under the logs and got him to the bank. And so he's got a lot of faith. And the only thing that I would pray is, Lord, I just pray that he doesn't have any chemo or radiation or anything, that he, Lord, just strengthen him in his faith. Even he's got a bold faith and a great testimony, a heart to love and serve you and run after you. And that we thank you for the good report, but the story's not over. And Lord, I'm just praying that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made him free from the law of sin and death, and all that cancer is just gone. And there's no need for chemo, radiation. He's just a walking, talking testimony. He's just an earthly vessel filled with the spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So Father, I thank you and praise you for the great work you're doing here. And we thank you. And thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them. And I know we're not the only ones that prayed, but Father, you hear all our prayers and you've honored them, and that it's you've answered them, and it's to your glory. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for his complete healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. I feel anointing on that one. I think he's walking out of there shortly. Go, Missy.
My trip to see my family and my dad's 80th birthday party went well, and everything was peaceable. And I found out that I am going to have a grandson this time. Matt and Megan are going to have a boy. And I already prayed with locals. Megan is not happy at all with the baby being a boy. She really wanted a girl. And so just
praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for another boy in the world.
Yeah. Well, and so Father, I just thank you for changing her heart. And I just thank you, Lord, that this baby is not going to be born with rejection or anything like that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to teach them both a lot from now until then, and work in their hearts. And I know they're going to be great parents, Lord, and be attentive and patient, and just put your love in their hearts, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And kind of a neat thing that my other daughter-in-law, Brooke, shared with me. She has a friend, Jessie, that was told that she has some kind of, I forget what it's called, cystic something or whatever. She has cysts on her ovaries, and she hasn't been able to get pregnant. And the doctor told her that, you know, she should have a hysterectomy and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And Brooke told her, she says, no, don't do that, you know. And she gave her some advice. She asked her, she says, have you tracked, you know, like your cycle or anything like that, you know? And she says, no, she says, well, do that. She says, that'll help. And she did it for 1 month and she got pregnant. And and like, praise the Lord. I asked Brooke if she was a Christian, and she said, yeah, but I don't know, you know, sometimes how that goes. A lot of people claim to be Christian. So I had made the comment to Brooke. I said, doctors don't know everything, you know, and there's, you know, they don't know what they think they know and stuff like that. But anyway, and she asked me to keep her in prayer, you know. Well, I'd like you all to agree with me for Jesse. I praise you and thank you, Lord, that Jesse's pregnant. And consider that you're doing, Lord. And because every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. And I just ask you to calm her fears. I command all fear of any kind of fear concerning anything concerning the pregnancy. I thank you, Lord, for giving her a good pregnancy, full term pregnancy. And I just cast down any curses spoken on her in the name of Jesus. I cast down all form of key and witchcraft. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to have a good pregnancy and a healthy, strong baby, Lord. And that her and her husband are going to be great parents also, Lord. And that, Lord, you just use this to draw them even closer to you, and that they acknowledge and recognize and give you the glory and the honor and praise, Lord, for her being pregnant and giving them this awesome gift of a baby, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting almost as cynical as old man Alexander Dowdy was when it comes to doctors. Seems like every time they want to go for the knife, don't they?
Yep.
They want to get that money. Get that money. Old man Alexander Dowdy told him not to come into Zion, Illinois. He said, doctors and lawyers forbidden. Go ahead, Missy.
And Father, I just, I don't know if her or her husband has had this shot or whatever, but Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that if they have, or if they're, you know, there's a lot of women that are having bad experiences just from being around people, you know, that have vaccinated, even though they're not. And I just thank you, Lord, for protecting the baby and her in this, Lord. And I just praise you, Lord, for doing that. And if they don't understand the seriousness of how awful this thing is, Lord, I ask you to open their eyes and bring the information to them, Lord, that they would know this and just trust and believe in you for your protection, your Psalm 91, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And also, I'd like to ask for prayer for myself. I've been battling just a heaviness and oppression and condemnation, and y'all know I prayed about my RAV. Well, I found out that I have some major rust on it that needs to be fixed. It's not safe. And so, long story short, I'm going to take it Thursday to a fabrication company that works specifically in repairing cars. I did a Google and I asked specifically about that fabrication and repairing cars, because I did look at these other ones. And then the Lord put in my mind to ask, you know, Google specifically, and there's one close by, and that's what they do. It's, you know, for repairing, fixing cars rather than replacing parts, as David would say, which is true. I'm praying and believing that it's at the garage now, that we're getting an estimate on what it takes to actually place. But more than anything, what I want to find out is if there's any more rust, and I'm believing there's no more rust anywhere else that needs to be dealt with. I thank you, Lord, for that. The goal is to have this fixed. And so we're going to take it Thursday morning and see if they can fix it. He says, well, we'll take a look at it and we'll give you estimate if we think we can fix it. So I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be fixable and be a lot cheaper than the other route. And thank you, Lord. And
amen.
And you doing that. And
now David said that he'd do it for 2,000.
Funny.
He did. He said he'd do it for 2,000.
Oh my gosh.
He was kidding, of course.
I know. But anyway, it's just the enemy's just I'm really puzzled by, you know, what's going on with the Rav and stuff like that, and why all this is happening. And it's just the enemy's really just trying to condemn me over it. And like there's something I did wrong or whatever. And I just kind of feel like the Lord's telling me again, this is, you know, just really, when stuff like this happens, it just causes you to just really examine yourself. And, you know, even if it's not because of anything you've done or whatever, or haven't done or whatever, it just, so it's the Lord's used it to, you know, get my attention, but it, in the respect of, you know, I just think it's just the Lord, it's just another test of, are you going to receive condemnation? You know, it's just, you know, I know it's for a reason, and I'm not quite sure why, other than, you know, just a test if I'm going to receive condemnation over something like this. Because, you know, we all believe for our things and that the Lord keeps them, and we don't have to be putting out money. And, you know, and, you know, if anything else, you know, I can just consider, you know, it's, Kurt said it was probably like that, not as bad when I bought it, that it was probably bad enough, you know, when I bought it, that it, you know, it shouldn't have passed inspection. And it's a safety factor. And just, you know, I can just chalk it up to, okay, thank you, Lord, that, you know, I didn't have anything happen while I was driving it. And, you know, because it could be a dangerous thing that this subframe would break. So I thank you, Lord, for that, for keeping me safe. And because I've driven down to Tennessee, I don't know how many times with it since I've had it. So I'm back and forth to my family. So I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for that. And so just like a prayer for that, please. Just the enemy's just been battling it.
Okay, let's do it. Y'all want to believe with me? All right, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we lift up Missy to you, Lord. She's a child of yours. She don't have to put up with this garbage. And in the name of Jesus, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. I command this spirit of heaviness off of Missy right now in the name of Jesus. You go from her. The spirit of oppressiveness, you leave her now in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of condemnation, you leave Missy right now in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit associated with them, go with them in the name of Jesus right now. And Lord, we thank you for complete cleansing and deliverance of all of these enemies out of Missy's life right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for the victory for Missy. Deliverance is here because we prayed, she believes, and it's done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Just like to add on to that a little bit. Father, I thank you for the trials that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for Missy and all of her testimonies, Lord, and the work you're doing in our sister. And I pray your blessing upon her. And we come against also those spirits of confusion and doubt and uncertainty about her salvation, about her walk with you, about how she's perceiving within herself of, is there sin? Did I do something right? Do I do something wrong? What is this about? And just we don't listen to anyone's voice except the voice of our shepherd. And so I pray, Lord, you quicken her discernment and that she go to war immediately anytime these enemies would try to influence her thinking in any way, Father. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for the victory of overcoming all of our enemies, Father, in the name of Jesus, because it's already done. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 More thing.
Thank you, Father.
Anxiety to go to in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anxiety go.
You can go in the name of Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance.
Amen.
Already.
Praise you, Father.
For all the principalities and rulers of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Peace, your joy, and your rest, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Go ahead, June.
I just want to add, in regards to the attacks, which is something the enemy likes to do to prayer warriors. And Missy, you are a strong prayer warrior. That in place of that, our Lord would just fill you up with the truth of how he is so pleased with you and how he loves you. And that that would be something that would just infiltrate every cell in your body. That you would just raise up knowing the truth that you are awesome child of God, sealed in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
I'd like just to pray that we let the Lord give us that childlike faith that we rest in his love and bring and receive all that he has to give us, so that we don't try to work this out by ourselves. We just receive it. Thank you, Father, that you're allowing us to come to your kingdom and renew ourselves as little children, not as adults. We could just relax. Let us, Father, help us to understand what that means. Have the Holy Spirit come on us so we can renew ourselves in you and not be the adults in the room, but be the children and trust in you fully. Thank you, Father, for giving, allowing us to have that trust. So, Father, we ask that now to give us that faith and trust like a child. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done, Missy. Glory to God, man. You ought to be dancing up and shouting, girl. My, 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 my. Oh, boy. Okay. Anyone else? Well, let me share something with you that we had a fellowship meeting last night on Zoom local here, and one of the ladies had a word from the Lord during that, and I want to just I believe it's just applicable to everybody. This is Debbie. You know, she comes on here often. Let me see. I don't know if she's here now or not. I think she is. I got two pages here, so I got to go through two pages. And I'm on a 27-inch screen. Something. This is good. Yeah. All right. This is during the time that I was playing. You know how we do on the last Thursday of the month. I play music, praise and worship. Well, we had that before the meeting got going there. She said, I went to my end table, and after I got my glass of water and picked up the paper with words I wrote on it that I was hearing the Lord say to us in the songs that were being shared on last night's Zoom meeting, Monday night, and I was, as I was going over them, he added more. She said, I was so blessed to have such quality time with the Lord today. I was on my sofa and felt thirsty, and I said to myself out loud, I've got to get a drink of water. As I walked into the kitchen, Father spoke to me. Speak to my people. Hear me, my children. This is my heart. These are the cries I delight to hear from my children. Lord, draw me unto you. Lord, make me a house of prayer. I want to hear you say, my Father, consume me with your power. Oh, my people, let these cries come unto my ears. Listen to me, my people. When you cry out to me, it must not be a cry of begging, but a cry of deep, strong, desire, filled with joy, because you know that you're going to receive. But this is going to be a desire that I am putting in each of your hearts as you grow up in the solid truth of my word, as you allow the solid truth of my word to grow in you. So I say, come on, my people, be bold, be strong, rise up, take your place as I take my place in you, for I will fill you. I am bringing a great awakening. I will do this. And I say again, rise up. Class is over. You will not be a people who is ever learning yet never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I say to you, I am handing out my certificates of anointing to those allowing me to awaken in them. Yes, then with the seal of my spirit and anointing. Yes, go forth. Move out as those prayer warriors before battle and being my spokespeople with the javelin of my word in your mouth. You shall come against the enemy as you give out my word with authority. Such great authority that will be. So awaken, my people, go forth. Use your gifts. And everyone be aware of the opportunities I will open up to you. Walk in them and awaken many of my peoples. Open eyes and give unblurred sight and vision to those who need deliverance from the sickness of lies by giving to them the anointed truth balm of my word. So many will receive. So many will be delivered. So many will rise up and go forth alongside you to bring healing and deliverance to many more and build my kingdom of truth and holiness. Then she says, I asked the Lord for a random scripture, and he gave me Micah chapter 7 and verse 9. And I'm going to read 7 through 9. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will hear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my case and execute justice for me. He will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. Father, this is her prayer. Father, change our desires. Change the cries of our hearts to be trained men and women of God. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom, that you desire us to be desire to be used of you in accomplishing your plans and your purposes on this earth, to set captives free, that they may become truly one with you, with us. And know the joys of being in your eternal kingdom. Thank you for saving us and delivering us from sin and bringing us out into the light, into your glorious truth. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Glory be to God. I just shared it. What are you talking about? Amen. Yeah, it's something before I forget it, and this goes for people out there that's listening too. I need everybody to send me their email, and if you want to, your phone number as well. When I changed over from my Apple to this computer here, something corrupted my contacts when it did it. I had an Apple guy doing it, so I don't know what happened to it, but I've lost most of y'all's email and phone numbers. So if you would, ask that you would send that to me in the email. Please and thank you. What y'all think about the word, huh? Huh? Y'all ready to go to work? All right. What is all this noise? Nothing. It ain't nothing. It's advertisement. Okay. Has anybody got any comments? Man, after a word like that, glory to God, I'm ready to get my sword out and go to slanging at them enemy. Aren't y'all? Man, throw the word right back in their face. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking today when I, a couple struggles that hit me today and or this morning, and I got out of bed and I was thinking of, you know, I heard this song a few days ago, and there was a line in this song that it kind of hit me, although it wasn't like a Christian song or anything like that. But the guy says that what the line was, I hate to tell you, but only dead men are free. And I got to thinking about that because it hit me today as I woke up. And I was thinking about, actually, what I'll just say is I woke up this morning and I had a rash on my arm, like a poison ivy or something like that, itching real, real bad. And so I asked the Lord I thanked him for it, that, you know, for taking me through this, whatever it is. I rebuked it and cast it down in Jesus' name and claimed the fact that the curse is not on me. It was laid upon Jesus. And that kind of took me down a path of thinking about my connection with the Lord, my death on the cross with him, my burial with him, and then my being raised in him when he was raised. And so I was asking the Lord to allow me to go through this situation that's happening right now and show me how to respond, obviously in faith, but show me how to respond in the awareness of the death that he has provided me in the cross. Because I was thinking a couple days ago, and this death that he has given us is not at least I believe, it's not a elimination of our personal, of our awareness, and now all of a sudden whatever we were aware of before is all gone and you have no awareness of it, and now I'm all in Jesus. I don't believe it's an elimination of our awareness. I believe it is it fits more in tune with the role of sons as, and I'm thinking in like sons taking over the father's business when a certain, you know, if, a child grows up and he's raised and goes to college or does whatever, and then his father grooms him to take over the family business. And there's a point in time when in that son's life where he has to come to grips with, am I willing to set aside my personal desires, what I would rather do with my life, so to speak, and am I willing to let those desires, those goals, those ambitions, whatever that the privilege to do my own thing, or to live my own life, to make my own way in the world, and to whatever extent that means, am I willing to set that whole thing to the side and let it die and die to that, and then put my full attention and focus and my whole life's motivation and resources into doing the business of my father the way he would do it? And I know it's kind of that same, that perspective of dying to my own life and taking on and devoting my life to my father's business, to making that business thrive and whatever. And so I was kind of thinking of that, and asking the Lord to allow me to perceive what death should mean to me. What should that, because obviously, I mean, it almost sounds morbid, a bit morbid if it wasn't for the fact that it was true, but there is a certain freedom that I believe is there when that old life has been completely set to the side and my focus is now just doing my father's business, what my father, and making that business succeed in whatever ability I have to put toward it. So that was kind of my prayer today, is that Father, help us to get all of the benefit of the cross that you provided for us, and allow us to perceive it in a way that we can be at rest and at peace, being dead in Christ, and at the same time being alive in his resurrection. So that was kind of all I had to say. It just kind of hit me today as that desire to want to be free from that whole total thing. And I think the Lord is doing that in us. I think he's doing it in me more and more, just to be able to lock on to the rest that we have in Christ, and to allow him to function within us unrestricted, not impeded in any way, but free to function within us, because the resistance of the old man is gone. So that's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for us, that we can enter into the fullness of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Y'all ready for this great revival? I am too. Hope I am. I pray I am. I'm believing I am. All right. Let's talk a little bit about faith. What do you think? First of all, I want to say this, that I've read some things today that indicated that more people have died from the vaccine than have from COVID. And that's what we're fixing to see. Is that's the pandemic God has warned us about, told us about. And people are going to have to understand. The only vaccine available to them, those that have taken the vaccine, is God's vaccine. That's the Psalms 91, the John 14, 14, the 1 Peter 2:24, all of those scriptures and promises that God has given us. And, you know, there was a little paragraph that I read across today. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to read it because it will make sense to you. Because all of us have been in this little area. He says, it's God's purpose to bring us to weakness in order for us to see his power. That's his plan. Don't ever be cast down because of what you see. Because what you see is these places that make you weak. It's God's plan for you when you get into these places that you put your trust in him. And that you see his power. This is the place where God's power rests upon you. This place of weakness, the place of your own inability to save yourself or deliver yourself, is the place you can look for the promise of God and trust in God. You hear what he's saying? That's David out in the weakness, brings God's power. When you see all hell break loose around you, just know it's God doing it in you. Just know he's waiting on you to trust him for everything that you need in the days ahead. It's going to be looking like everything is gone, man. There's nothing can help these people but God. But God has made a people, like he was talking about in that word that he gave us. He made a people to be his hands and his mouthpiece of his word to bring this revival about. And when people see people rising up from the dead, when they see people rising up from the bed of affliction, in, as Swaggart says, multiplied multiplicities of people are going to come to Christ. We got to get this faith thing down. All it is trust in God. And he wants us to look like Jesus, doesn't he? If he wants us to look like Jesus, glory to God, we need to die to self. We die to self. It's Jesus. It ain't nobody but Jesus walking up down the street looking for somebody. Glory to God. Looking for somebody to tell the truth of the gospel to and show the power of God that'll bring a whole town to God, bring a whole village to God. And when you die to self and don't worry about what you see around you, don't worry about the people who are just acting silly, wearing masks like Judy was talking about, wearing masks and wanting to know if you've got the vaccine because they've got the vaccine and they're worried that you're not wearing a mask because they've got the vaccine, you don't have the vaccine, da-da-da-da-da. Don't make a bit of sense in the world. If you've got the vaccine, why are you worried about me, for goodness sake? But all you can tell them is, look, I've been vaccinated by God. And when you get vaccinated by God, honey, You are vaccinated, and you need to know that. I have been injected with the Holy Spirit. And when you've been injected with the Holy Spirit, you have the power from God Almighty to walk this earth like Jesus did. And he said he healed them all. Bless God, in many places. And you'll be doing the same thing. And no side effects. That's right, Joe. No side effects. Ain't gonna be no little nanotech bodies running around inside you changing your DNA either. Your DNA's already been changed to Jesus. You are flat walking like Jesus out there on the streets of these cities that we're around, and God's going to use y'all, us, all of us. Yes, there is. There's a lot of side benefits and perks because we get to see the miracles of God. How many of you want to see somebody come back to life that's been dead for 4 days? I do, glory to God, me too. How many of you want to see limbs grown back and all that kind of stuff? I do. I want to see more than that. I want to see people coming to Jesus that you never thought would come to Jesus. All of those souls out there, I want them to come to Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to have some Pauls in amongst us here. They're going to be preaching, teaching the word of God because you were obedient to the Lord in his calling for you. That's all I want to say. We're coming into some good times, and we're going to be ready. I think I'm just believing everybody in this thing is going to be ready. I'm praying that too. Go ahead, Geneva.
I had something else I wanted to say real quick. I forgot to bring up. On our last day on our trip, we were flying out of Las Vegas, but we were staying the night in Las Vegas. And, you know, I've never seen Las Vegas before. And my thought is like, well, I want to see the lights. I want to go walk downtown. You know, I've never seen it. Might as well. And Morgan was like, well, we can drive through, but I don't really want to get out and walk around. And I was kind of like upset because I was kind of like, man, like here we are. We might as well, you know, I don't want to just stay in the hotel room all night. I'd rather like go out and do something, you know. I mean, we were both really tired from driving all day.
Play the slots. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just kidding. but you read my mind. No, I'm just kidding. No, but anyways, I was thinking about it, and I was like, Lord, if it's your will, you know, then let Morgan feel okay about us going and let us go and just walk around and just, you know, see the lights, because everyone talks about the lights. And then I was like, whatever he says goes, and I'll be obedient. I won't get upset. So anyways, I said that prayer, and I waited for Morgan to say something. And then Morgan finally was like, Geneva, I just don't have a good feeling about it. He's like, something just does not seem right about going downtown. He's like this, and we've been to New York, and we, you know, we've been to Chicago, we've been a few places, and you know, I don't know, something about Las Vegas just felt really off, probably because of how everything that city entails. And so, anyways, I just wanted to thank the Lord that he blessed me to be okay with that decision. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I was like, Morgan, I have a weird feeling too. I was like, I don't think we need to go down there. I was like, let's just stay here, get our sleep, and get on the plane flight tomorrow. So anyways, we ended up not going downtown. And I had some people were like, what? You should have went down there and seen it. But I mean, all it is, you know, gambling and sex, prostitution, and all that stuff anyways. And you know, I'm just thankful that the Lord blessed me with obedience to listen to my husband and to listen to the Lord, and that he gave me that same feeling too. And then I stepped outside because you could kind of see the lights from where we were at, and there was all kinds of police cars down there. So I don't know what happened. But I was just thinking, I was like, man, Lord, I'm sure whatever that was or whatever was going on right there, you want us to stay away from it. So, plus I've heard they throw a lot of dirt. Oh, stop. I've heard that they throw a lot of dirty stuff on those streets. So anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for his obedience.
Amen. So does
not that, not that if you went there, you're a sinner. That's not what I mean. I just mean, you know what I meant.
No, no. What? Okay, slot girl. You know, I had a chance one time to go with my father and my brothers up there, and I didn't go. I'm glad I didn't, too. They had a good time, but wrong kind of good time. Wrong kind of good time. That place is full of demons. Bright lights in the big city. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Not really. Okay. What were we going to do tonight? Something about Joe's message. Joe, what'd you get out of that message there? I'll just pick you to let us know. Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
I would say that what I think on Sunday, Saturday night as well, as I think it's probably the same thing. It starts with a mark, is the sign on your head. It's what the Lord gave you, but protect you of. But you have to be protected if you're going, if you in obedience and in walking in faith. That's in short. You have to get the mark of your, get the mark of faith and obedience.
Mark of God.
Amen.
Yep. Okay. All right. What's the difference between the seal, the name, and the mark? Anybody? I know I'm not the only one listening to that. Come on, man. Okay, Dave.
I'm not sure, but didn't we come up with that there really wasn't any difference?
Yeah, with the name and the seal.
Okay. But we're going to say the mark's different from the seal?
Well, in what way?
No, are we saying that? I didn't think so. No. I thought we were saying they're all the same.
I'm trying to trip you up, Dave. That's
okay.
All.
No, you're good. I you know, I just make clarify what you were saying. That's all. I think also the thing to remember on some of this is, and I was listening to David today too on church going in the wilderness. And what is going to happen is great deception is going to go out during this time. And people that don't want to know truth and follow after truth, which Debbie talks about here in her message from the Lord, are going to be taken in with that deception. And that includes people that are in the church that really aren't running after the truth that we know as, you know, church to whatever church people. Christians, I mean, if they're not really seeking the truth and seeking after the Lord's definitely sending out deception to take those people out. And so that will be part of the mark too, is the deception. I do remember what it says. Is it also, hey, Claire and everybody, does it also say in the book of Revelation that if those times weren't shortened, even the elect would be deceived? It's really strange how it comes out like that. But that's the thing we got to be really concerned about, is I'll be running after the truth. We're not trying to be deceived. And we are here. I mean, we're trying to dig into this and find out what the truth is. And that's it. You know, anything we jump in, we try to find the truth of it. And so I think that's going to be our saving grace too, with the grace of the Lord. It's all by the grace of the Lord. I mean, you're chosen, you're drawn out, you're set aside, and you recognize that and you give God the glory. You know, and we don't become double-minded, and we don't want to forsake any of the promises. We're trying to run after and get our minds where we have the faith for the promises, not to let go of any of them. You know, that's the other part of it, because that's the other part of the church, is they don't believe the promises. So they're going to be taken in with a deception. And part of that deception is this vaccine. They're looking for another savior, another Jesus. And that's, again, that's the deception. There's a big deception coming out, man's deception. And, you know, people that are running after the vaccine rather than the Lord and his promises, they're being deceived. So the mark, there we go. The mark, the name, the character, the seal. It's all about us running after the truth. And not letting this falsehood come into our life, the vaccine, the ideas that they're bringing up, you know, that's going to save you, the COVID, even if there was a COVID, we're protected, right? We've got that Psalm 91 protection. It's standing on the promises and saying, well, this is true, not what you're telling me. What you're telling me is deception. It's a lie, you know. So that's the other part, you know. Hanging on to the truth, hanging on to the promises, not letting go of them, not being double-minded. That's what's going to save us. That's going to seal us. That's going to give us that name of Jesus on our hearts. And on the others that don't hang on to that, how can they possibly have the name of Christ? The name of God. How can they possibly be sealed? They're not. They just like Esau, they let it go for porridge, for a mess of meat. They sold out to the flesh, you know. So, anyways, that's just kind of some of the things I was thinking today on that.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I guess I would just add that after I listened to that, you know, it really refreshed me in that teaching about the seal. It is the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and is our obedience to the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people can have the Holy Spirit but not necessarily be walking with the Lord and obeying him and, you know, and his commandments. You know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and we want to obey, and that's obedience. And it's the works are the fruit of the Spirit. So if we're really walking with the Lord and we're abiding in him and obeying him, we're going to bear the fruit. And that's part of the mark as well. As David was explaining, that was part of the mark, is the fruit in the mind, you know, the mark on the mind. It's our the obedience. And, you know, it's a really good teaching to just to be refreshed in, you know. Davis says it much better than I could try to repeat it, but it was really good. So.
Amen. Yes, he does. Got a gift, doesn't he? Teaching. Amen. I am handing out my certificates of anointing to those allowing me to awaken in them. Lord, awaken in me. Glory to God, I want you, and that's all I want. Get rid of me. Thank you, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill everybody in here with your Holy Spirit. And let the gifts be an evidence. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I saw a thing on YouTube today that somebody sent it to me. And yes, draw us, Lord. We'll run after you and put on your desire for you in our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I saw a YouTube thing there about this lady that Chuck sent it to me. A lady that had some kind of shepherd dog. And it was a good dog. It was a house dog, you know, and it was a nice little dog, big dog. And the dog bounded up to the couch and hit her right in the lip. And just blood started gushing out of her face. And the whole side of her lip over here just completely gone. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you'll never speak right. You'll never da-da-da-da. You'll never speak in curses on her. And this is a woman of God. She had a lot of faith. And they told her that the plastic surgeon told her, said, we'll have to cut out a piece, and we'll have to try to bring it together. All kinds of garbages, but you'll never look the same. You'll never look the same. She said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to look just as good as I did before this accident as I did after. I mean, as I did before, after this accident, as I did before. And the surgeon, and the plastic surgeon looked at her and said, that ain't going to happen. You can't do it. It won't do that. And she said, God can do it. She said, God's going to do it. So, make a long story short, this is a 30-minute program, and I'm just going to hit the highlight. She went back home, and she pasted up on her kitchen wall 4 or 5 pictures of herself before the accident. And she started praying that that's the way I'm going to look. That's the way I look right there. That's the way I look in God's in God's kingdom. That's the way I look. I'm going to be that person again. My lip is normal. My mouth is normal. I look just like that. I look just like that. I look just like that by the power of the Lord God Almighty. I look just like that. I look just like that. And she did it every day, every day. And I believe God is fixing my, and you know what happened? Nothing. No, I'm just kidding. No, her lip started growing back. Started growing back. And the plastic surgeon would look at her and say, what is going on? This can't be happening. And she gave him a big, he told her, he said, you'll never be able to smile again. And she said, ah! She grinned real big at it, and he jumped by. And, you know, anyway, God completely healed her because of her bold faith, enduring in her faith to believe it. And we have a person here that has a little daughter, Zoe, that has a cleft palate. And that was him that sent it to me. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to say Zoe is normal. She has a normal mouth. She has normal teeth. She has a normal palate. In the name of Jesus. How many of you know God can do that? He made her for a time such as this. The glory of God is going to be seen through that little girl. And now he's going to grow all of her fingers back too. He's got 3 fingers on each hand. He's going to grow them all back. And we're going to see the miracle. Glory to God. I'm so excited. I don't know if y'all can tell or not. It's going to, and then something else. Y'all know that Sandy doesn't have a leg. We've already had numerous dreams about her getting that leg back. Getting that leg back. And it's going to happen. Amen. So we're going to see all kinds of miracles. Y'all are too. We all are. We're all going to see it. he sent that to me, and I haven't talked to him yet, but tomorrow I will. We're going to pray for that little girl, and we're not going to stop until it's completed. God does his handiwork on that little beautiful little girl. She's, what is she? Missy, about 3, 4? Okay, 4 million. Okay. Yeah, feast and time. Amen. She's a sweetheart, too. Okay. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
When Dave was talking a minute ago, he was talking about...
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted you rather than lowered your hand, George. You'd have to unmute yourself again. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. When Dave was talking earlier about if the elect could be deceived, it made me think of that word if. And I was, when you were talking just now about those afflictions, I was reminded of how the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, there was not one lame or feeble among them. And that our covenant God is so, you know, it's our covenant is so much better than the one they had. And
glory to God.
That if in the Bible that says, if there are any sick among you, then they'll be anointed by the elders and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And it's not assuming that there's going to be any sick among us. It's just saying, if there is, here's the provision. And if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. That's not saying that any of them are going to be deceived. It's just saying that the deception is going to be so strong that if it was possible, they would be. The elect are going to be sealed because we're already going to be walking in the works of Jesus from that we're called to walk in from before the foundation of the earth. So we're going to be sealed by the doing and the exercising of our senses. And we're going to be so in Christ, there won't be nothing left of us and that old man to get in the way. And the love of the world and none of the enticements of the world and the fear of men, it ain't going to have one little bit of anything in us. It'll be just like Jesus told Satan, you have no part in me. And I believe that's how we're going to be sealed off, because the enemy won't have a way in. And it's like that Thompson's water seal. We're going to be painted thick with Jesus. And I don't know, I'll get stupid if I keep talking, but I love y'all. Bye.
Oh man, that's awesome. Thompson's water seal. That's Jesus's water seal. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, go ahead, Missy.
You know, you Sharon about her saying that's what I'm gonna look like, you know. That's what I look like, or whatever, you know, how she said that. You know, it's such a strong picture, a strong picture of faith, because, you know, God calls the things that are not as though they were. God has the greatest faith. When you think about it, his faith is greater. It's his faith that created everything. Mm-hmm. He spoke everything into being, you know. He's the omnipotent, powerful God in this universe. And when I get on this, I just pump myself up. And I hope it excites you all too, because we have the same powerful, omnipotent, powerful spirit of God in us that Jesus did. And if we can really, really get a hold of that, Lord, help us to really get a hold of that. Give us such a revelation of that. That we have the same powerful spirit of God in us that you have, that you had when you were on this earth, Lord. And that our words are just as powerful as what your words are. And remind us, though, also, Lord, that Our words can tear down and our words can build up. Everything that we say, everything that we do is really a sowing and a reaping. So, Lord, set a watch before our mouth and a door before our lips, Lord. That we only speak as an oracle of God, Lord. And that we only speak faith. We only speak the good news. We don't speak the bad report, Lord. And give us much discernment, Lord. Don't let one thing enter into our mind, whether it be our flesh or the fiery darts of the enemy, that's contrary to your word that we do not catch. We ask you to help us to catch every bit of it and cast it down and say, no, this is what God's word says. And we speak your truth. We think your truth. And we cast down everything contrary to your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Where's Andrew? Oh, there you are. Okay. What you got to say, brother? I know you got a little bit of something.
You know, it's just so exciting to hear all this. You know, it sort of lifts you up and builds you up and encourages you. You can always do with that Barnabas encouragement, like in the book of Acts, it speaks about, oh boy, that, you know, you can just picture that woman looking at those pictures going boldly that this is mine because God's already done it at the cross. For me, oh, it's just so exciting, you know, that she's gonna have this because she knows it in her heart and that it's been put in there and she knows it's gonna happen. Oh, it's exciting. It's just exciting, you know. Sometimes you can remember way back when you first got saved, how excited you were, and this it's just like that. That you're saved now, you've got an entrance into heaven here, and you have an access to this wonderful Jesus and wonderful God for all of this. Just the boldness to have that access and confidence in His faith, you know, just like the verse says there. Oh, praise God.
Amen. Y'all got some good stuff going on over there in the chat. Claire says, it reminds me of David's favorite verse, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Even what happened to him? Even if Lord, the Spirit, somebody moved it. Amen. Glory to God. That's right, Claire. It's just like that. That's what I was thinking about when I saw the thing. Then Julie says, amen. We are perfect, spotless, and blemishless, flawless, and most beautiful in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:7. You look at the things that are before your face. If any man trusts in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again with himself, that even as he is Christ, so also are we. Amen. Then Jenny had quotes 1 John 4:17, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. Oof, glory to God, man, that's a good scripture. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Does anybody not feel like Jesus? Raise your hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because we're looking in the mirror, aren't we? I see Jesus. I go out every morning. Look out, Jesus. Here I come. Here comes Jesus. Michael's staying in the bedroom. I'm going out. Me and Jesus going out. We got to get in that frame of mind that we are just like him. We're holy, sanctified, powerful. Glory to God. We can do anything with Christ. Go ahead, Isaac.
Since you're mentioning that, I'll say maybe 2 months ago or more when I was in Texas, you know, I was in the Word and really praying and putting to death this flesh through the grace of the Lord. You know, it's on him, man. You know, it sure ain't me. I ain't never been able to do it, that's for sure. But I had this dream. It was really awesome, man. It was really a short blip of a dream. But I had this dream that I was looking in the mirror because I was claiming that every single day. And I would walk to work and I would claim in my breath and I would pray in tongues and I would claim that verse of beholding in the mirror. Anyways, I had a dream of this mirror. It was one of those mirrors that had the LEDs on the outside of it, so it illuminated. And I see myself because I would literally do this. I would look in the mirror and not look at me and pretend I was seeing Jesus. And I would do it and I would claim it. And that's it, because I heard David and you talk about it. And I was like, well, you know, that's good. That's a good confession. And so I had this dream. The LEDs were illuminated. It was bright. And I was mature. I was older than I am now, though. I was mature. I was happy. And I aged well. And I knew that was coming into existence, you know. So I had that dream. And just here a few weeks ago, I had a dream. I won't go into it, but I'll give this one small part of it. I was in front of a church preaching or talking to some people. And this was actually a church where they I don't think they liked me very much when I was younger. But I was Middle Eastern looking. It was crazy. It was me, but I was Middle Eastern looking. So I just said it to say this. Do it, man. Claim it, you know. Know that it's not you, but it's Jesus.
Amen. God wants us to give that good report, doesn't he? In everything that we do, everything that we think that we can do, we give the good report. That little girl is healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. Y'all are healed. Everybody in here is healed, delivered, and set free. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're all healed. In Jesus' name. I think that's Tracy down there. Let's pray for Tracy. That's Tracy right there. Tracy, I know you're listening in the name of Jesus right now. In the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command healing in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. The cleansing power and the healing power of God raking through your body right now, cleansing it of all of the maladies and infirmities in Jesus' name. That spirit of infirmity, go right now in Jesus' name. You go from her in the name of Jesus. And I command those pharmakia, I break the power of pharmakia over her right now in the name of Jesus. And I command them to take that tube out of her mouth and out of her stomach right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for giving her strength supernaturally in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that Tracy is healed, delivered, and set free from this spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. And I believe it, and I thank you, Lord, for filling her up with your Holy Spirit with bold faith to believe that what we prayed tonight is done in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. I believe it, Lord, and I praise you for Tracy's complete healing thank you, Father, for doing that for her. Now, Tracy, come up out of that bed of affliction in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And glory to God. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Tracy, everybody in here has got their hand raised. We, every one of us, believe that you're healed in Jesus' name. So you take a hold of that and you grab a hold of that and you put the word of God to it. And girl, I know you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Anybody else want to pray? But it's done. Amen. Okay, Missy.
I was just reading Faith for All Things. And David made a statement that faith is 1% prayer and 99% praising and thanking the Lord that it's done.
Yep.
The Lord be praised. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. The Tracy's healed. Praise the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Claire.
I have a testimony. I asked Brianna if I should share it, and he said, sure. So I'll just try and be as brief as I can. Women get a bad rap when they reach a certain age of maturity, and then the world tells them they're bound to this 28-day cycle for the rest of humanity. And then they have babies, and it gets out of whack, and they breastfeed, and they get out of whack. And then some of us are blessed enough to hear the teachings of David. So I heard these teachings before I was a mom, and then was a mom three times over. And then eventually when I stopped breastfeeding Daniel and I could regain myself a little bit, I just had faith that everything would just be the way it's supposed to be, and I wouldn't have any sort of hormonal challenges or temper tantrums, or you know what it's like, you all are one or you live with one. And I did a lot of this in faith, but I guess I just didn't have enough maturity, or maybe I wasn't being obedient in some spaces. But anyway, it went really well for a long time, and then I think I listened to some word curses, and I shared with a few people that I had been delivered and healed from this, and I don't think they had that belief. And I don't know, I wish the Lord would help me understand when to share better and when to be quiet, because I think that did a number on me, that these people didn't believe me when I told them. This is maybe a year ago. And so I've really been struggling with this, and it's, you know, it's not just the flare up or the anger or the curt behavior, but it's actually the condemnation that comes after, when you know that you should do better, when you know that you, how, like the enemy says to you, how can you call yourself a son of God? How are you a daughter of the King? Why does the Lord even bother with giving you dreams? Because you are useless. Look, you just mess up again. And my life is very small, so the only people that see the mess up is the ones that I hold nearest and dearest, and the ones that I'm charged with training. And it's a very, very hard road, and very repentant. And sometimes I feel like, then the enemy says, are you really repentant? Because if you're repentant, then you would stop. But you're not, you haven't turned, because you just do this again. You know, the enemy is like such a dog. So anyway, last month, on the 17th, and it's the tiniest thing that'll send a woman into this weird space, right? It will be the tiniest thing. And for me, normally it's if we can't find a piece of Lego, or we can't find an eraser, or how minuscule is that? And the Lord had given me dreams and songs and stuff, and so that was great. And then this happened, and in that moment, I knew this, it could not be me anymore. It just couldn't be me anymore, because I'm so dead. There is nothing I cannot do this, so it must be a spirit that comes on me. And I had a dream, so I had flipped out, and Rian came in for lunch, and it wasn't pretty and whatever, and said sorry and repented, and you know, like, my poor children, like, they deserve better. Anyway, I emailed David, and I hardly ever email for personal stuff. It's always just like, oh, here's another dream. And I just said, please pray for me. Like, please, I can't anymore. Like, this is out of hand. Like, it's just relentless. And he just came, and I kind of had believed that this is the normal, like, you know, and he just came back with like a really simple 2-line email. We just bind all these spirits, you know, your body's aligned with the word, which is the things that I confess all the time. But it's like, I just needed to read it from someone other than my husband. And I stood in faith, and I had the most amazing month. And I just said to myself, every morning for the next month, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to proclaim that I'm healed and I'm delivered. And then the Lord gave me this dream about a really, really old man standing outside the door of our house, and he's trying to get in. And I was freaking out. I'm like, I can't, this guy, I can see him. It was like the dead of night. And I said to Ryan, who was in the schoolroom with the kids, like, I can see this guy. And then I went into my bedroom, and my dad and my mom were in our bed. I woke up my dad, and I'm like, this guy's outside. Like, and my dad's like, now this is funny, because my dad doesn't have a gentle disposition, but he just took me really gently, and he said, he can't come inside. He just, don't let him come inside. If you don't open the door, he can't get in. Like, really peacefully, and went back to sleep, which is obviously a representation of the father. You know, he says, just stand, like, you have to open that door. Like, if you don't open that door, then they're not coming on you. Anyway, so last week, Monday, you can't help but put dates and things to this. Like, women know, like, you can, as Missy said, like, oh, haven't you ever tracked your cycle? Well, any woman who's had a cycle long enough will be able to track some semblance of it, right? Because you just know. But nothing was happening that normally happens. And so then I thought, oh, maybe I'm pregnant, you know, what's this about? And then I thought, oh, I don't know. I have prayed for that. Like, I do want to be pregnant again, but that'll be a whole nother miracle in itself. Anyway, so the whole week went by, and then things happened, and it's like day one. It was day one, a few days ago, and like nothing. The enemy tried every day last week. There was an eraser that was gone, which would have sent me. There was there was something else that was gone that would have sent me over the edge. I'm talking like bad, like terrible stuff, and nothing happened. Like, the children kept on going, are you okay? Like, are you okay with this eraser not being fine? And I said, it's fine. Like, you can even get a new one. Go get a brand new one from the stationery drawer. And when we find the new one, we'll find the old new one. We can put the new one back. And all these little things that the enemy was trying to do. And then when things started happening, and it was day one, I looked at Rian and I said, I am delivered. Like, it has manifested. And this is never coming back. That door for that old man will never be opened again. But it took so long to get there. But did it really take long to get there? Do you know what I mean? It was done immediately, but it was just that process of sanctification and that process of being justified by your faith and not giving up. And when you give up, like, don't give into the condemnation. So I'm definitely not trying to preach. We're just trying to share that, yes, we are going to see amazing miracles, but the most amazing miracles are the ones where we get to overcome ourselves. And it's so exciting for me, and I love it, and praise God. And I'm sure I'm never going to have a tantrum again. It's very exciting.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Been an awesome night, hadn't it? It's already over. Golly. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We ask, Lord, that Thursday night, that you place it in everybody's heart to just pray before we get on, to that you would be directing the whole fellowship Thursday night. We thank you for it, Father. And we'll talk about the things that you want us to talk about. And I know it's going to be about you. In Jesus' name, give us all a good night's sleep, Lord. Thank you for your healings, for Tracy, and everybody else that we pray for tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these lovely people. Amen. Good night, y'all.